You know, every time I hear that song and see those words, it just reminds me about how true that is. Even in the world we live in, as nasty as it seems sometimes, God still reigns. And He'll reign forever. Jackie asked me this morning, he said, "You know that song?" I said, "Well, yeah, I know that song." But that's a good song. It's a good song to segue into what we're going to be talking about this morning. You know, February is the month of what? Love, right? I thought about all kind of jokes I might be able to make out of that, but I'll just leave it alone. How's that? But parked in the middle of this month is a day that's set aside to recognize and do what? Celebrate love, right? But the reality in that is for some people, that might cause some heartache on that day. Because the person that they love most, guess what? May have already gone home to be with the Lord or may no longer be with us. So that can have some different emotions than what we normally think about. But as you know, Valentine's Day has become like all the other holidays that we celebrate. And I say that to mean in that its commercialization has become more important than its original intent. It's become more about the profit margin than the true sentiment. And I just wanted this morning, in setting up this month's series, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. I want to share some statistics with you about this day, this Valentine's Day. According to NRF, which is the National Retail Foundation, see, so commercialized and so worried about profit, we got to have a National Retail Foundation to track things. But Americans spend, now get this, y'all, on average, approximately 20, not million, billion with a B, dollars every year expressing their love towards a significant. That's just America, y'all. Now keep going. Men, guess what? Y'all will spend twice as much as women do on Valentine's. As an example, the average man will spend $231. Why is all the men shaking their head no? If y'all are all shaking your head no at zero when we bringing the number down, right? But ladies, y'all only spend $100 on average on a man. So I put in here, come on, ladies, y'all slacking. Y'all slacking. Well, that just takes my next comment out, you know, blows it out of the water. I put on here, guys, at least we're doing better at Valentine's Day than we are usually most of the rest of the time in the year. But when we break it down into products or event types that money is spent on, 54% of all Americans will purchase this item to express their love. What do y'all think it is? Candy. Here you go, baby. I love you so much. I got you a Hershey bar. 44% of Americans will send a greeting card or give a greeting card. You know, with those little, you know, cheesy notes in it and all that good stuff, right?
Hey, I just want to interrupt for a second and say, every single year I tell Ryan, please don't get me candy. And guess what he gets?
Somebody said roses, right? Y'all know I'm trying to just move on, right? 36% of the money spent at Valentine's Day is spent on flowers of some sort, okay? Now I found this interesting. 41% prefer to stay at home for a special evening, whereas 22% prefer to go out. You know what that is? That's young marriage versus old marriage. No, I'm just kidding. But when you do that, that leaves 37%. That means one-third of all Americans, they don't want to do anything at Valentine's. They don't want to go out. They don't want to stay home. They don't, you know, boom, 37%. Now, another item that I've not mentioned is jewelry. 18% of that $20 billion is spent on jewelry, mostly by men, by the way, at Valentine's Day. As it should be, is that what you said? Oh, my goodness. I love how God works. I had it in my notes to let men look good today, and y'all turned that around. But anyway, moving on. Now when we look at who or what people spend money on for Valentine's Day, now this is real interesting. 54% of people in America spend it on their spouse or a significant other. Okay? 17% spend it on another family member. 7% is spent on our friends. What have you noticed that's not in here yet? Well, or our kids. We spend more on our friends than we do our kids at Valentine's Day. Only 6% are spent on our kids. Now, on $20 billion, that's $1.2 billion at Valentine's that we spend on our kids. A lot of cavities in that $1.2 billion. But here's the most interesting thing of all. This is spent on our pets, y'all. On Harris. It's the same as what we spend on our kids. 6% is spent on our pets at Valentine's. I mean, what can you get a pet at Valentine's Day? I mean, you know? But anyway. Now, I know you didn't come to church this morning to hear the preacher recite a bunch of useless information to you about Valentine's Day. But there's a method to my madness. Y'all know that. I want you to take note of how man has taken something originally intended by God to be special and blessed and meaningful and has turned it into something artificial, often manufactured, and exploited for commercial gain. And I'm not talking about Valentine's Day. I'm referring to love. Mankind has distorted the true meaning of love and as a result created, this is a hot word in our society right now, a systemic belief that love is purely physical in nature. Love can be expressed without any form of emotional or spiritual connection. What the world is saying is love is just something on the surface and nothing more than a temporary moment shared between two individuals. Can I just say this? That's not real love. That's not true love. So this month, during the month of love, we're going to work our way through a new series that I'm calling Real Love. And today, we're going to talk about God and you. My hope is that as we go through this series, you will have a new appreciation for love, and that this new appreciation will help you understand how it is that God loves you, how it is that Jesus loves you, how it is that fellow believers, and I'm going to say it this way, are supposed to love you. Because there's a method. There's a way that we're supposed to love others. Well, we can mess it up, but there's a way that we're supposed to love others. And then finally, how it is that you yourself are supposed to love someone else in your life. So that's the series we're going to work our way through this month. But to begin, we need to understand love as God defines it and as God demonstrates it. You see, love is a tremendous gift from God and is the basis behind our creation in the first place. Without the true and authentic character and nature of God's love, there would be no viable explanation for our existence. Have you ever thought about that? Why do we exist? Well, if you search deep enough, what you'll find is you exist because of God's love. I'm sure most everyone here today has heard this statement. God is love. God is a lot of things. That's true, isn't it? God is a lot of things, and it's very true that he is love. Now, how can I know this, and how can I substantiate such a statement? Well, first I need to go, and I need to know, and then I need to go where the statement originates. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Maybe. I'm going to say 7 through 8, but it's really just 7 through 8a. whoops. 1 John chapter 4, 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love where? Is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Okay? So whether someone said it without thinking or whether someone said it knowing this verse of Scripture, it's absolutely true to say that God is love. God is love, but wouldn't I need a definition for love to better understand such a statement? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, now he's going to go to Webster and he's going to give me this definition of love. No, why? Because that's a man's way of defining love. So I want us to go not look at a man's definition, right? But instead look at God's definition. Why? Because it's, I think, and what I've hoped to have shown you this morning is that the definition of real love, the definition of true love, has been skewed by man over time. So let's look at the basis first and foremost for our faith and go directly to the source. Well, what's the source of our faith? The Bible. What is the Bible, or how does the Bible define love? Perhaps the most recognizable place in all of Scripture to find a definition of love comes from Paul's teaching in the chapter on love, the chapter known as love, in what? 1 Corinthians 13. Most marriages, Christian and even non-Christian, will use this passage in 1 Corinthians 13 to talk about love. In fact, many consider these verses the explanation of perfect love. So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and this is what it says: "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful." Now I'm going to stop, because I'm going to go back and I'm going to reread that. And you say, well, why are you going to reread that? Because I'm standing up here, God's reminding me, hey, this is God's definition. So I want you to get that in your mind as I read this. This is God saying what love is and how love is supposed to be. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And the first part of 8 says, love never ends. Love never ends. The Spirit of God taught Paul about this very important characteristic, and he used Paul to explain it for us. Now, if I ask you this morning to name some characteristics of God, most of you would list things like holy, or righteous, right? Okay? How about these? Just, vengeful. Well, we just read about all this love and how God is, but how can he be vengeful? Well, his vengeance is because of his love. Boy, you start trying to wrap your mind around that. Merciful, right? Great characteristic of God, right? Gracious, right? What we need to understand concerning all those attributes, the attributes of God, including that of love, is each of them exists in perfect harmony together. And they give us an intimate detail into the persona of who God is. The cool thing about love, though, while it works harmoniously with the other attributes, it also serves as the core quality behind all the others. In other words, God is merciful because of his love. God is gracious because of his love. He's just because of his love. Love exudes out of his holiness and his righteousness. And the converse thought here is this. If we believe that statement, if we believe that God is love, then we must also believe that God cannot be unloving. Think about that. God is love means he cannot be unloving. So we have people ask us all the time, well, how can a loving God allow this to happen or do these things? He allows us to make those choices. Does it hurt him? Absolutely. But does he ever stop loving? God is love. When we trust this truth, then we can also know how important we are in the eyes of our Creator. Everybody knows this. He created us how? In his own image, for the purpose of being in relationship with him. Y'all, as I was studying this, and I got a little teared up in that How Great Thou Art song, and as I was studying for this series, and I'm thinking on, you know, just how much it is that God loves me, this thought came across. God will always choose you. He will always choose you, no matter who the real you is. Now think about that. When you study Scripture, I'm not doing justice to trying to explain God's love, because I can only comprehend it at my level. I can't comprehend it at his level. But as I'm studying this, this thought came to my mind. God, you've always chosen me. Always, no matter how bad and nasty or where I was at, you always, God, chose me. And he does the same for you. He will always choose you. No matter who the real you is, he will always seek you and offer you an opportunity. And here's my question for you this morning. If you believe God is love and you know that he doesn't have the ability to not love and that he will always choose you, here's my question. Will you always choose him? In fact, if God were not love, then all those statistics that we talked about, all those things that happen at Valentine's Day during this month of love, if God were not love, then we would not ourselves have the ability to go and love someone else. After all, we just talked about it, are we not made in his own image? So here's what I want you to know this morning. A creator, God, the creator, filled with perfect love, chose to make us. And he chose to make us knowing that we would rebel and not reciprocate with the same love back. But even with this knowledge, God did it anyway. I want to remind you this morning of Genesis, first chapter, verse 26. This is what it says. Then God said, let us, we've talked about this before, but who's the us? Is there multiple gods? There's one God. Exists how? In three entities, three personas, three persons, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, why don't you look at that first part again. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's our English translation of the original Hebrew. But I thought it'd be interesting to go back and see how we actually translate that Hebrew into the English without any sentence structure, any form, just word for word. What does the Hebrew mean into English? And this is what it says. Let us make man in us, image of, according to, us likeness of. Whew. We pick on English for being a hard language sometimes. But I want to read that again because I want you to hear what it's what the original Hebrew says. Let us make man in us, image of, according to, us likeness of. Now we're not here for a Hebrew lesson because I'm not good at that anyway. But I want you to note, when I read this, and I read the English translation of it that we read, and then I read this in the original Hebrew, it makes me infer or think that every person, from the beginning of time, from the moment he started with Adam and Eve, every person, hey, by the way, skin color, doesn't matter. Every person. When I read this and I infer every person was created to be part of the relationship that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because it says we were made in His own image. The Hebrew says we were made, let us make man in us. Image of, according to, us likeness of. Sounds like a bunch of jumbled up stuff until you start thinking about it. What God is saying, what Jesus is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, when we make man, we're going to make man for the purpose of being involved intimately with us. And we're the only ones in all of creation that God chose to do that with. Think about that. God will always choose you. Now, we cannot ever achieve God-like status. But God allows us, He's made a way, He allows us to experience and express His communicable characteristics and attributes. In other words, God allows us to express that same type of love back to Him and to others. But here's the cool thing about back to Him, we only get to do that with Him and real love now, not world's love, real love as defined by the Bible. We only get to do that if we choose Him. You remember I said God will always choose you? If you want real love in your life, you need to choose Him. If we choose to believe in and love Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, then God will teach us. God will show us how to love the way He loves. Now, I've said this before. God doesn't want to force us into a relationship with Him. He doesn't want little copycat robots roaming around filled with an imitation love that is so readily defined by the world's standards. Nope. People who authentically choose God do so because of His love. And it's His love that's found at the core of an eternal relationship with Him. You know why you get to go to heaven? If you choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know why you get to go to heaven? Because God loves you. I can't make it any more simpler. You know why you do not get to go to heaven? Because you decided to not choose Him. Stop putting the heaven and hell decision on Him when it sits rightly on you. Because as we talked about, and it's biblical, God will always choose you. And you say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done and where I've been. You're right, I don't. And sometimes I'm glad I don't. But there's one that does. And the Bible says, regardless of all of that, He still will choose you up until your last breath here on earth. People who choose God do it because of His love. And His love, and it's His love that's found at the core of our relationship with Him. The greatest expression of this type of love. And I started to get into all this, but y'all know this. What type of love is God's love? Agape love, right? Okay? That unconditional love. Well, what does it mean? Well, there's a couple of passages to help us better understand the love of God, and we've talked about this before, but what? For God so loved the world. Again, this is that every person thing, right? John says it this way, the world, right? From day one with Adam and Eve until what? Till Christ comes again and puts an end to it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I love that. We like to say, well, why is he so judgy? Well, he gets a right to be judgy. But he didn't come to do that. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came in order what? That the world might be saved through him. Remember, God made the world. God made every person. And God's intent from the very beginning was to do what? To be in a right, loving relationship with every person. The only way that's possible, though, is through Jesus Christ. Keep going there, Brian. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Son of God. God loves you so much that he gave up a piece of himself so that you could have access to him forever. Paul took all those verses right there and he summed them up in Romans 5:8, and that's what Paul says. But God shows his love for us, and I love this. He'll choose you no matter the circumstances. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Son of God died for us. The Son of God died for you, for me. Here's the thing. God knew man would originally choose sin. He could see that before he decided to create. But as we talked about, he did it anyway. But here's the thing. Because of Jesus, he made a way out. He knew we would choose sin. He knew because we would choose sin that there had to be some type of repercussion for that. Even out of his love, there had to be repercussion for that. And the repercussion for that was what? The curse. Our nature. Our desire to please self. But God knew that up front, and he had to make a way out. And he says, you know what? The best way out is through my love. The best way out is to give them a piece of myself because I love them. And when they choose that authentically at the core of who they are, when they choose that, then they can be reconciled back unto me. I love it, y'all. Thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus Christ. Now, here are the things that I hoped, because I said a good bit, but here are some things I hope that you heard in today's message. First and foremost, God is love. And therefore, he is incapable of being unloving. Don't ever forget that about your Savior. The Holy Spirit, if you've given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, and you know he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he didn't leave you here by yourself. He sealed the Holy Spirit inside you. Guess what? He did that because he loves you. Don't ever forget that God is love. It might not seem like it sometimes, but he is. Secondly, God expresses this unconditional love to us in a variety of ways. A few of those include, first, through our creation. Now, I want to look at Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. God expresses his love to us through his creation. Now, we could go back to Genesis and we can spend some time there because we read it already. He made us because he loves us. And in the back half of verse 26 in Genesis 1, what does it say? All the other stuff I made, I'm going to put that man and woman that I made, the greatest of all creation, in the position of authority over all of it. And then you read Colossians 1:26, it says what? Over the livestock and over the earth. Oh, I'm sorry. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. God loves you, and he'll always choose you. Secondly, he expresses his agape, unconditional love through Jesus Christ, through his son. Look at 1 Peter 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him. Anybody seen Jesus lately? He was only here for a short time, wasn't he? Several thousand. Though you have not seen him, you do what? Love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God is love. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is love. And it is through Jesus Christ that God made a way out of the mess. And finally, we just mentioned it there at the end of that. God expresses his agape love through our salvation. And I, what was all of last year? I kept telling you, all last year, embrace what? Your salvation. You know, a lot of us have that mindset, man, I got it, I'm good. There's so much more to your salvation than I've got it, I'm good. You got to embrace it. And what are we taught in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9? For by grace, where does God's graciousness come from? Out of his love. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. Where does our faith come from? The belief in what? That we can't see. Well, we just talked about it. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. All those people that tell you this, that say you can work your way into heaven, it's a lie, folks. It's a lie. The only way you can get into heaven is to love God. Love God. Choose him. Choose him. That's it. It's a gift, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And there's our answer. You say, well, how come you can't work your way into heaven? Because then all you're going to want to do is pat yourself on the back and say, look what I did instead of look what God did. Look what I did instead of look what Jesus did. Look what I did instead of look what the Holy Spirit did. See, God knew. He knew that that's how we'd be. But you know what? He still chose us anyway. Still chooses us anyway. Thirdly, God will always choose you. His ear is always, look, his ear is always listening for your voice. I've said this a lot. It amazes me that the filter he's got. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? We could all right now start praying, start talking to the Father in our own voice, in our own way, with our own words. And he has the ability to hear every single one of them and filter out what every one of them says. And then according to his will and his grace and his mercy and his love, make action on that. Whether we like it or not. Because the Bible says what? He hears our prayers. He listens. And here's something this is just Brian speaking. Things I've discovered through the years. I think God is waiting to hear your voice. And when you go these long periods of time where you don't talk to God, I think he starts to groan in his spirit a little bit. And he said, I hadn't heard Brian's voice in a while. I wonder why. Well, maybe it's because I decided I wasn't going to choose him. But you know what happens when I decide the next day that I want to choose God and I go back and I say, oh God, I've not been here for a while. You know what he says? It's okay. I'm here. I've been waiting to hear your voice. I've been longing to hear your voice. God will always choose you. His ear is listening to you. Romans 10:13 says this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Does that mean I go, Lord, Lord, and I'm saved? Nope. That means I'm going to do what? I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Why? Because I love him. And I've given my life to him. I've chosen him in the same manner that he has chosen me. And when I speak to him in my heart in such a way, he honors his promises. And one of those promises says, if you call on my name out of your love for me, your love for my son, then guess what? You'll be saved. You'll be saved. Will you today choose him? Will you let today be the day that you call on the name of the Lord and be saved? I am not good, y'all, at explaining the love of God, because I can only explain it to my level using his word. But when I put it into just the simplest terms that I can put it in for you as your pastor, those are some of the things that we talked about this morning. God made you because he loves you. Every characteristic he has and he displays and he sends your way is because he loves you. Even the just, even the vengeful sometimes. We call that in our world tough love. We force his hand sometimes, and guess what he has to do? Display some tough love sometimes. But he does that because he loves us. Only because he loves. He made us because he loves us. And that's as simple as I can put it. And I go back to that statement. He'll choose you no matter what. But will you choose him no matter what? We're going to play a song at I think the lyrics will be on the screen. You can stand and sing. Whatever you need to do business with God this morning in this place. I'll be here if I can pray with you. I will. Just listen. This, y'all should know this. It's all about God's love. His love for us. I hope that throughout this week, the words of God's Word, songs such as what we just played, the little whispers in your ear that you might hear from different people, different believers, fellow believers throughout the week, I hope that what you hear in that is that God loves you and he'll always choose you. He'll always choose you. Go this week and share that with somebody. Somebody might just need to hear that. They just might need to hear that. Remember, we're not going to do services tonight or our prayer time Tuesday just to try to get the germs and stuff out of here. And we'll pick back up next Sunday morning. Pay attention to GroupMe. We'll use that as always for announcements. I know we got a few that aren't on GroupMe. We'll make sure you get that information. To include, share with people that we have the website. So if they weren't here, guess what? I think so. We recorded the sermon. They can go and listen to the sermon if they would like to. Driving down the road or sitting at home, whatever they need to do. I love you guys. I do. More importantly, though, God loves you. I do. I hope you have a good week. Let's pray and we'll go home. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your, not just your words, but your expression, God, of your love. And Lord, I pray similar to last year where you encourage us to embrace our salvation, Lord. I pray that then, at least in this month as we focus, that you'll encourage us, Lord, to embrace your love. And Lord, may we never forget all that you've done for us, all that you're continuing to do for us. And what a promise we've got waiting. So God, we thank you for all of those things this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we go out into this world, that your light will shine through us. And may we, God, be a light into the darkness in your name for your kingdom. We love you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. And before you go, make sure you thank Brian, because it's not easy to sit back here and do all that stuff. He did good.